Genesis chapter 49. I promise you I won't be before you long. I'm just a praiser, amen. And it's hard. I was tempted to just get on the piano for a moment and just continue to usher in the very presence of God, amen. Every now and then I do. I just feel like David. I just need to just get myself right, amen. I won't walk over there. Pastor got me on a time constraint. He told me he said he got to eat by 11:30. So I'm going to make sure he eat by 11. Pastor didn't say that, amen. He did not say that. Let me be truthful, amen. He didn't. Pastor did not say that, amen. But Genesis 49, everybody's there. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation this morning. And this is Jacob's last words to his sons. And we won't read the whole thing for the sake of time, but the first verse reads like this. It says, then Jacob called together, is that right? All his sons and said, gather around me, and I will tell you what would happen to each of you in the days to come. He said, come listen, you sons of Jacob. Listen to Israel, your father. Reuben, you are my firstborn, my strength, the child of my vigorous youth. You are first in rank and first in power. Here's this conjunction. But you are as ruly as a flood, and you will be first no longer. You know how they say you always want to start off with something good first, and then you bring in the rest. He says, for you went to bed with my wife and defiled my marriage couch. He said, Simeon, ooh, Lord help us, and Levi, you are two of a kind. Their weapons are instruments of violence. May I never join in their meetings, and may I never be a party to their plans. For in their anger, they murdered men, and they crippled oxen just for sport. A curse on their anger, for it is fierce. A curse on their wrath, for it is cruel. He said, I will scatter them among the descendants of Jacob, and I will despise them throughout Israel. And then he goes on and on through the other verses, and he gives some blessings here and there. But if you jump down to verse 20, he gets to his son Asher. He said, but Asher will dine on rich foods and produce food fit for kings. Now, if you turn over real quick to Deuteronomy, I want you to see this real quick, chapter 33. And I promise you, I'm going to let you sit after this. Deuteronomy chapter 33. And look at verses 24 and 25. Everybody there? So Moses said this about the tribe of Asher. May Asher be blessed above other sons. May he be esteemed by his brothers, and may he bathe his feet in olive oil. May the bolts of your gates be of iron and bronze, and may you be secure all your days. Amen. You may be seated, amen, in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Again, I want to say I just thank God for the opportunity to be at North Norwood Community Church, amen. Also known as NCC, amen. And I just thank God that I'm here. I love what you're doing. I love what I see rooted in Christ and rooted in the community, amen. And I heard it this morning that you said you're making sandwiches, amen, and putting together food for those who are in need. And that's what you call being rooted in your community. And just what an awesome thing to be doing, amen. I also thank God that my wife is with me this morning. Amen. First Lady, the love of my life, my macaroni and cheese maker, amen. And I thank God for her almost 25 years, amen, of marriage here pretty soon. The best 25 years of my life. And I want you to excuse me this morning. My voice is a little scratchy going out, and First Lady has been fighting a cold all week long, and I think while I was sleeping, she was kissing on me or something, because I've been avoiding her all week, but I'm just like Jesus. I presented my body a living sacrifice, and so pray my strength in the Lord this morning, but I thank God that she's here this morning, amen. And so pray my strength, amen. I want to, just for a few moments, preach on the title, Blessed But No Action. Blessed But No Action. Let me just say it one more time. Blessed But No Action. Blessed But No Action. I thought about this in revival. When you talk about reviving someone, my role in revival is I'm just like an AED. I'm just like a defibrillator. I'll just come to just give you a quick shock and then just sit down. That's it. You know, so you won't get anything deep and anything like that. It is a quick hit and to revive you, to kind of shock you a little bit and shake you and wake you back up and kind of get you going again. And that's all. That's my job. That's all I'm supposed to do. And I thought about what Pastor was saying this morning. I almost made me want to preach all over again. He said just yesterday it was hot. It was 90 degrees, and we woke up today, and it was 62 degrees, and we were walking to the car and said, boy, it sure feels good out here. Look at this. And I thought about that, and I said, I just, God can work that same way in your life. You could have had a dry season yesterday, but if you blessed and you know it, today might be your fall. Today could easily be your change, and God can put you in a new season just like that overnight if you only trust him, if you only believe him, if you only live blessed and actually put some action to it. That's not what I was going to add, but I added it since Pastor Elijah got on it, and it just kind of came up. But God can change your season just like that. But when you think about blessed but no action, action is a synonym of the word act. The word act is a verb that means to take action or to actually do something. That you actually take an action, you actually do something. But it also means to behave, conduct oneself, or react in a way specified. So let me say it again, blessed but no action, but the word act can also mean the way that you actually behave, the way that you conduct yourself or react in a way specified. So if I'm blessed, my behavior should show that. If I'm blessed, then the way that I conduct myself should exhibit that of someone that's blessed. And if I'm blessed, then the way I react, it should be in a specified way, regardless to what's going on. I'm blessed. Oh, you know how you say it. If I came in this morning, I said, good morning, how you doing? And somebody told me, I'm blessed and highly favored. So you know how we say it. I found somebody else, and they said, I'm too stressed to be blessed. And then I walked around, and next thing I know, somebody said, man, they said, listen, I'm just tripping in finesse because I'm so blessed. It don't make no sense. You ain't young enough to understand that one. That's Bruno Mars, but you'll get it at some point in time. But I'm saying, everybody got a little saying of that I'm blessed, and I'm blessed. And so here it is, and so it says that, so if you're blessed, and you actually act that way, then you should behave in a certain way that your conduct should kind of resemble that, and then you should react really in a specified way regardless to what's going on. But here is Asher. He's blessed, but no action. He doesn't act like he's blessed. And this is an interesting thing. When I read this story, I kept reading. I said, this is something, because when you look at this, Jacob gives his final last words to all of his sons. And typically what would happen during that time is that you're kind of waiting to receive your blessing. And I can only imagine, you know, some of the other sons, they didn't really quite get the blessing that maybe they had hoped for. And Jacob gave them his final words, and he was just saying, look, this is what you did, and this is what's coming to you. But he told Asher, he said, Asher, but as for you, you will dine on rich foods. That says to me that Asher's not going to have to worry about eating. That it seems like he said, Asher, you're going to always have more than enough. And not a matter of fact, it's just not going to be just a little bit of something, but you're going to be able to eat Ruth Chris when you feel like it. Somebody say amen. If you ever been there, you understand what I'm talking about, won't you? You have to share it, but that's okay. But you'll be able to eat on rich foods. Amen. He said you won't have to go to McDonald's, but I'm going to give you, amen, Angus, amen, beef. It'll be the right kind. It'll be only. So he says, and then you will produce, watch this, food fit for kings. So he says, listen, first of all, you're going to have more than enough, but you're going to also have a career that will bless you where you will produce food for kings. So he got a blessing from Jacob, his daddy. But then not only that, he got another blessing. Moses also gave him a blessing. Because Moses said, hey, the tribe of Asher, what? Will be blessed above what? All the other sons. He said, may he be esteemed by his brothers. And then he said, may his feet be bathed in what? Olive oil. And may the bolts of your gates be of iron and bronze, so that you will be what? Secure all of your days. So here's Asher, blessed beyond measure. Asher is blessed and highly favored. Asher is double blessed. Asher is just a blessing waiting to be a blessing. But however, Asher is kind of like us sometimes. He's blessed, but no action. He's blessed, but he's not acting like it. He's blessed, but you will see how Asher didn't really receive what was given to him. Well, I hear you. So let me give you the backdrop, and I'm going to keep going. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, say amen, because pastor almost done. You might as well say amen. I'm almost there. So here's the backstory. See, Jacob was living with his two wives. And look at somebody and say, this Old Testament. Amen. Don't do that. Amen. I want you to understand, okay, but this is just what was happening, okay? I don't want you to think pastor coming in, and say, you know, saying it wasn't okay, okay? And so Asher's mother was Zilpah, who was a handmaiden of Leah, if you kind of remember the story. So when Leah stopped conceiving children, she gave Zilpah to Jacob to conceive children on behalf of Leah. So Asher was the eighth son of Jacob, and the younger of two sons that Zilpah bore Jacob. So now here it is. Now what's interesting is that he was named Asher. And Asher's name means happy and blessing. Do you see the problem? First of all, your name means blessing. Then you receive your last words from your daddy that says your brothers didn't know how to act, so they ain't going to get nothing, but you will be blessed. Then Moses, we talking about Moses, who gave us the Ten Commandments, come back and say, Asher, you and your tribe will be blessed, and you will be secure all of your days. So his name means blessing. He gets a blessing. He's told he's going to be a blessing. You're going to be secure. You're going to have everything you need, but then no action. Now, you looking at Asher, and you shaking your head going like, well, I don't understand. Well, you should, because according to the word of God, it says that once you become in Jesus Christ and you say that I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart and in my soul that Jesus died for my sins and he rose again for me on the third day, it says you shall be saved. And I believe, and I know I read somewhere, I don't remember, but for you Bible scholars, help a brother out. It said somewhere that once I'm born again, it says I am a new creature. Therefore, if I'm a new creature, if I'm born again, then it seemed like to me I have a new name. And if my new name then becomes blessed when I'm coming out, blessed when I'm going in, I'm blessed in the city and in the fields, blessed when we come and go, we cast down every stronghold and poverty must cease. You sing it, we sing it, we believe it. So I'm a new creature. I have a new name. Then my Father also told me I was blessed. Didn't God tell us you're blessed? He says, if you just trust me, what? I'll bless you. He says, matter of fact, if you give to me, I'll give to you. Matter of fact, but I'll give to you differently than how you give to me. I'll give to you pressed down, shaken together, running over. I ain't even asked you to press your stuff down and run it over to me. He says, but I'm going to bless you in that way. So we can't look at Asher like Asher has a problem. We got to look at Asher like he's our cousin. And Asher is indicative of what we do. I can imagine Asher was not in a revived state. Then maybe Asher was sleeping. As the young people say, you caught me sleeping. And I can imagine that Asher was just sleeping. He understood who he was, but he was sleeping. And so you will see that Asher was blessed, but no action. So we can learn three things from Asher this morning. And what we want to learn from Asher is this, is that we want to learn how not to be in a blessed state and have no action. Because Asher shows us there are three things we can do to make sure we don't end up like Asher, that we don't end up like Asher. If you're blessed, amen, then we ought to act like it. Somebody say amen. Amen. Truth be told, the brother was praying this morning, and he said, Lord, thank you for just waking us up this morning. And I heard him say, in our right minds. I heard him say that just glad that we could be here. And so if you came through the doors this morning, honestly, that's blessing enough. And so just our response for being able to walk in should be, thank you, Jesus. Just our response for being able to get up this morning and just have the activity of our hands and should be, Lord, thank you. And just blessing enough. And so, I mean, here it is. Here it is. Asher teaches us three things that we want to make sure that we do so that we will act like we are blessed. The first thing is this. Asher teaches us that about being blessed and having no actions. And number one, you must make a choice. Do you see it? You must make a choice. Here is Jacob's on his deathbed. He gives Asher the blessing, saying, you're dying on rich foods and produce food fit for kings. Now, in all honesty, to me, it seems like it would be kind of simple because if I'm listening to what daddy is telling my other brothers and I'm eighth in line, at that point, I'm just praying that, Lord, I hope I don't get what they get. I hope that he run out in just a minute. I mean, I'm eighth in line. It would seem like by the time he got to me, and if he had just stopped that, you were down on rich food. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I would have been already running across the stage and just dancing that at least I've done something enough to receive the blessing from my father on his last words. And so Jacob gives the blessing. But this is interesting. Now, Asher was assigned land on the northern coast of Israel, where the Israelites entered the promised land. Now, this area was blessed with harbors, like right here in downtown Jacksonville, just harbors and just plenty of places where the Asherites actually harvested seafood. Remember what he said? You're going to dine on lobster and filet mignon. So they were at a place to harvest because that's what they did. They were fishermen and they were people who harvested out of the sea. So God then put them right in the place to do what you do best. Y'all not woke. That's okay. God blesses you, puts you in the place to do what you do best. Not what somebody else, to do what you do best.
He sets you up with the exact job you need to do what you do best. He puts you in the right church. So let me go back because I'm out of time. So here it is, Pastor, there. He's at the harbor. Now, God gave Asher this land, but there was something he was supposed to do. He was supposed to drive out the Canaanites. He was supposed to take action on his blessing and drive out the Canaanites. But according to the word of God, he chose to live among them in the land. Look at somebody and say, you got to make a choice. If you don't believe me, then it's in Judges 1. I'm going to prove it to you. In Judges 1, I don't want you to think I'm making anything up. In Judges chapter 1, verses 31 through 32, I believe you see it on the screen. It says, the tribe of Asher failed to drive out the residents of Akko, Sidon, Elab, Azib, Helba, Aphek, and Rahab. Instead, the people of Asher moved in among the Canaanites, who control the land, for they fail to drive them out. God blesses you, puts you in a place of a blessing, tells you to leave them other people alone, because I'm doing something new in you. I'm taking you to higher heights and higher levels. What I'm getting ready to do for you, you're going to have to leave the same people that you've been around, because they don't really want to go where you want to go. But I'm going to give it to you. All you got to do is just leave them, drive them out. But he chose to move in with them. My question to you is, have you chosen to move in with people you shouldn't be living with? Did you make a choice this morning to stay in your same position when God has really told you it's time to move? Well, let me say it differently, because I know you're saying, no, I've been living in my same house, Pastor, 20 years, and don't nobody live in my house. Well, let me give you an example. You can live in your same house, but yet stay in the same position. And even though physically people not living there, but spiritually they are. What do you mean by that? What I'm saying is that when God has blessed you, you ought to act like it. Your behavior should change. And so if you're blessed, then you shouldn't be saying the same things you said 5 years ago. You still shouldn't be cussing people out when you get mad. You ought to be able to control your anger and control your attitude. Put some perm on your attitude. You need to learn how to relax. I'm sorry, that ain't in there. I don't even know what Please be patient with me. God is not through with me yet, Pastor. When he gets through with me, y'all just pray for me. Anyway, so don't just look at it in the physical realm. The word of God is for us and our spiritual bodies. So if you look at this, the thing is, when God blesses you, you ought to be in a different spiritual place. And your behavior and our character and how we respond and how we react and what we do should exhibit that we are blessed. When God has called you out, when God has told you to take action, when God has spoken to you with a whisper, to say, move on. When God has told you to not live among them anymore, when he tells you that, then it becomes your choice to be blessed or not. You got to make a choice. You're saying, Pastor, well, wait a minute now. Yes, I'm telling you. You know some people who they're blessed beyond measure, but still live beneath their blessing. Because it's still what? A choice. If you know God has blessed you, and understand what I mean by that, according to the word of God, oh, you are blessed. Because when you are, understand this now, that you are what? You are children of the what? Most High King. And so if you know your father is rich in houses and land, if you know your father owns everything, your father is ruler of all nations, your father is sovereign, your father is the great I am, he's the I am that I am. Your father is all in all, he's your everything, then yes, we are blessed just because we're children of the God. So then how do we behave? It becomes what? A choice. You got to make a choice today. Asher had to make a choice. Bless, but what? No action. Asher was supposed to drive out what? The Canaanites. But Asher what? Chose to what? Live amongst them. Now, I got a few theories of how Asher got to that place. And I'm going to just throw it out real quick. I believe Asher got comfortable. And Asher was chilling by the sea. And he was in a good place, and he was living pretty good. He's at the harbor side. They getting lobster every day. They getting shrimp, and they getting crab, and they got what they need, and now they having a seafood boil, and they got the corn in there and the potatoes, and they just he's chilling, you know. I don't know about y'all, but I'm getting hungry, you know. But he was doing that, and then they had the crab legs, and they had everything going. They had some fried fish, you know what I'm saying, and they had it all together. So now Asher got comfortable, and so he was just kind of hanging out. And so he said, well, you know what? I'll drive him out tomorrow. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, yes, you procrastinate too. Let me tell you something. When God has told you to do something, when you delay on what God has told you to do, that's disobedience. Somebody say amen. Amen. Let me say this to you. I don't know what you're waiting for. I don't know what you're waiting for. Listen, if God told you to do it, you need to move right now and go ahead and do it. When God has told you you're blessed, you don't have to worry about what the outcome may be. You don't have to worry about what people may say. You don't have to worry about how it may look. Just go ahead and know that you're blessed and do what God has told you to do. Don't allow the enemy to fool you and get you to a place where you get so comfortable that now you procrastinate over and over again. That's just my theory. I don't know, but it seems like it'll be easy for a person to do when you have everything you need. See, when we're in need, we find a way to make it happen. When we're in need, we pray a little longer. When we're in need, we go back and we pray like we used to. We just say, Father, I stretch. When we're in need, we do it differently. But when we get comfortable, we lay in the bed and say, Lord, thank you for the day. I'm so sleepy. Good night. Let me move on. I'm talking to all of us. I was telling my wife, I said, I have a problem with procrastination. But watch this. Can I be honest with you? Not on my day job, because they fire you for that. When the project due is due. Your raises are based upon how you meet deadlines. I don't procrastinate at church, at work, because I need my raises. But you know where I procrastinate?
God's house. I'm talking about the pastor. Now, y'all don't do this. I'm talking about the pastor. Procrastinate. God tell me to do something, then I try to figure out to make sure it's perfect. Well, we got to make sure the letter got to be perfect. We got to make sure the right people, we got to make sure. I'm talking about me. And what it boils down to is not doing what God has told me to do immediately. Because I'm thinking about what if this and what if that and what if this and what if that and what if so-and-so get mad and what if so-and-so. I told my wife, I said, the devil is a lie. This word is for me as well as it is for you. It hit me as hard as it hit you. And I understand that I'm blessed. I don't have to worry about how perfect it's going to be. Because I have a perfect God that I serve. All I got to do is just go ahead and do it and allow God to perfect it on my behalf. But I'm telling you, don't be like me. Be better than me. Go ahead and do it. Get it done. Here it is. The second thing is this. I'm moving on. I'm already behind time. Second thing is this. Number one, you got to make a choice. Two, you must be committed. You got to be committed. You talk about being committed. We rooted in Christ and rooted in community. We have to be what? Committed. It's easy. I like to be honest around things because a lot of times it will help you kind of get to a place if you know I'm messed up too, amen? You say, ooh, he messed up. I don't feel so bad. So I do that so that you can understand that we are all in this race together. But you got to be committed. See, when you're committed, you're loyal to a cause. You're dedicated. Now, Asher was one of the tribes that formed the northern kingdom known as Israel. But watch this. But because of his lack of commitment to God and his fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Did you notice the and? Because of his lack of commitment to God and his brothers and sisters in Christ. A lot of times you think, well, I know I'm committed to God, but you're not committed to anything else. It's not enough. It's not enough just to have vertical. You need some horizontal touches going on. But because of his lack of commitment to God and his brothers and sisters in Christ, the Assyrian Empire pretty much drove him out of Israel. Because he was not committed to the things God told him to do. And he did not commit to his sisters and brothers to be the leader God had called him to be. When you're loyal to the causes of God, I'm not talking about being loyal to your stuff. Preach, Pastor, you're preaching, amen. When you're loyal to the causes of God, I'm not talking about being loyal to what you just want to do. When you're loyal to the kingdom of God, when you're loyal to, when you commit it to, when you're dedicated to, when you hang on in there, even when nobody else will, when you commit it to the things of God, he will bless you. That no devil in hell can take your blessing away from you. God has already set you up and put you in the right place at the right time so that you can be a blessing. But you have to be committed. Well, Pastor, we already know that. Well, I told you before when I first started off, my job is to simply just clear shock you. It's just to remind you of the things that will get us back into a conscious state. That will get us back into a breathing state. A state of living the godly life that he's called us to.
And so what's interesting about this is that it's one of those things that you have to be all in or all out. There really is no in between with God. I mean, at times I wish it could be that way, that God would say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant, for the half things that you've done. Come on up, and I'm going to make you ruler over half of the things." But it does not work that way. Amen. There is no half with God. There is no one-fourth. There is no, "Well, you tried your best, baby. Come on, I'm going to give you." There is no, everybody don't get a trophy with God. Everybody don't get a plaque with God. Amen. It is all in or all out. No, there is no in between. You don't get to kind of say, "I'm going to do a little bit and then, no, it's all in or all out. You either commit it or you're not. There's no such thing as, "Well, how is Sister Tan doing?" "Well, Pastor, she's 1/8 committed, and I think we ought to go ahead and move her up to be a leader." "Well, all right, then. Maybe we'll get 1/4 out of her once we move her up." It doesn't work that way with God. You either commit it or you're not. Blessed but no action. We got to make a choice, and we have to be committed. What a sad commentary to have everything you need but won't do nothing. "But Pastor, I don't have everything I need." Yes, you. What? The Psalm 23 said, "The Lord was." The Lord is my shepherd. I shall what? Not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still water. He restoreth my soul. That yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear when my enemies and my foes and my haters came to eat up my flesh? They stumbled and they fell. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me, because I'm what? More than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. What a shame that we have everything we need through Jesus Christ, but yet nothing. We got to be either all in or all out. I'm going to go on and just get it out, because this might be my last time. I got a feeling I ain't going to be invited back anyway. So I might well preach. But you got to make a choice. You got to be committed. The last thing is, you must be consistent. It's a choice. It's a commitment. And we got to be consistent. And I'm done. See, Asher forgot that he would be continuously attacked. If we really had time to really read through all of this and study it up, you would know that. And it's really not a mystery to us that during those times, the way that you gained and the way that you kept things was that you were continuously at war. And he stopped. He actually forgot. And so what he did was he let his guard down. And then he just stopped following the Lord fully. Now, that's the problem. He stopped following the Lord. Say that word, fully. Let me say it again. He let his guard down, and he stopped following the Lord fully. Consistency is that you do it over and over and over and over again the same way, fully. That I don't follow the Lord when I'm not feeling well and when things are not going well, then I follow the Lord kind of, sort of. And I let my guard down, knowing that it says that I'm going to be attacked all the time. And the reason why I'm going to be attacked all the time is because I'm blessed. Wait a minute. If I'm blessed and I know I have everything, then you ought to know and anticipate that you will be attacked all the time. And so you should count it all joy. Somebody know the word of God, right? James told us that we ought to be ready, that we ought to count it all joy because it's coming over and over and over again because God has you in a blessed state. And so since I'm in a blessed state, then I need to be consistent in my behavior. I need to be consistent in being ready to fight. I need to be consistent in putting on the whole armor of God. I need to be consistent in my praise. I need to be consistent in my worship because my praise is my weapon. I need to be consistent in my tongue because there is life and death in the power of the tongue. I got to be consistent, fully following the Lord. Well, Pastor Wayne, what do you mean by that? The Bible says in James, it says, but this, it says, listen, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only what? Fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in the mirror. You see yourself walk away and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. We can be blessed with many talents and live in a land just like Asher with abundant resources, but however, our actions influence our final outcome. Can I say that again? Your actions influence your final outcome. But wait a minute, Pastor, I don't really have anything to do with how God blesses me. You're right, but you have a whole lot to do with how you use the blessing. Wait a minute. God reigns on the just and the unjust. Mm-hmm, sure does. But for those of you who are just, act like it. You have a responsibility around, amen, what God, when God blesses you, then there's a choice you must make. Will I choose to do what he's told me to do? Or will I stay in the same position in my mindset? A position of not thinking that I'm blessed. A position of not thinking that I'm good enough. A position of thinking that everybody else is better than me. A position of thinking that maybe I shouldn't be doing this. Will you stay in that same position, or will you move like God has told you to move because you are blessed? Will you stay committed to God, knowing that God has put you in a place to be blessed? And when you stay consistent, you got to understand that that's what you got to do. You got to worship the Lord your God with all your heart. But let me remind you of this last thing, that Jesus made a choice to bless you by giving his life at Calvary's Hill. It was a choice. But what I love about him, not only did he make a choice, he kept his commitment. Because if you know anything about the story, he said, Father, if you could just maybe let this pass from me. I just maybe let somebody else have this. Let it pass. But he said, but nevertheless, what? Not my will, but your will be done. So he kept his commitment. And even in the darkest hour, when the Father turned his back on him, and Jesus said, nevertheless, Lord, your will be done. And then he remained consistent to his word. But what do you mean by that, Pastor? He told everybody, I'm coming back again. He said, yeah, you're going to put me on a cross. Yeah, you're going to raise me up. But I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to be consistent to what I said I'm going to do. I'm coming back again with all power in my hand. So I want to remind you that life is not without meaning. God knows what's going on in your life. Matter of fact, he's weaving the tapestry of your life. And it has light and dark threads. It has happy and sad times. But those times gives richness and texture and color to your life. I want you to understand that nothing can come in your life, in a life of a believer. Nothing can happen to you in your life as a child of God without God's permission. Look at somebody and say, everything is Father filtered. Can I say that again? Everything is Father filtered. So whatever it is, regardless of how small, it has to be filtered through the Father. Regardless of how big, it has to be filtered through the Father. And I just want to remind you that there is nothing that will come upon you that God will not allow. Nothing. Nothing get past God. So we might as well make the choice to fully serve him. We might as well make the choice to act like we are blessed people. We might as well be committed like we are blessed people. We should act like we are blessed. We should act like we are blessed. We should behave like we are blessed. We should talk like we are blessed. We should walk like we are blessed. We ought to sing like we are blessed. Everywhere we go, we are blessed, and people ought to see that we are blessed. I don't have to tell somebody I'm blessed and highly favored. Just act like it. Tell somebody of the dying world, in this dying world, that we serve a risen Savior. I don't have to say I'm blessed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I need to act like I'm not stressed. I need to have time for people and be patient with people and hear people out and be able to slow down and understand people. That's what we got to do. I'm way over time. Let me say this to you. In these last 6 months of my life has been some of the most difficult months of my life. Me and Tan, as parents, it's still a journey. It's just been hard. To watch my son go through what he's been going through. Not that he chose it, but it just happened. When the brother prayed and said, we ought to be glad we're in our right minds. And everybody just said, You don't know what it's like until you're not in your right mind. When you're at a place where there's nothing you can do but pray and cry out to God, Lord, help me. And just plead to God and just plead and plead and plead. I understood David more and more in Psalm 73 when he says, truly, God is good to Israel. He said, but as for me, I almost lost my footing. He said, my feet were slipping. I was almost gone. He said, because I envied the proud. I envied those who were doing well. I envied those who were still doing good. I envied those who were making. I envied all those. And I was trying to figure out why me? I envied those. And I said, David said, they don't have troubles like other people. I asked God, I said, now, God, can you, why do we have to go through this? And God told me, well, give me a name of somebody that should, and I'll give it to them. I got out my pen and my paper. I'm going to give you some names. You want some names? I started with my friends list first. I said, Pastor Elijah way stronger than me. And I wrote it down. I scratched it out. I said, no, Lord, that's my friend. He's got enough going on. he's pastoring, he got kids, he got this, he got that, he's just moving. And I said, no. And I put out another name. I said, oh, Lord. And God said, no, give me a name. If you give me a name of somebody that's more deserving than you, that's somebody who should take on this right now, then I'll give it to him. And he reminded me that, listen, God sees, he knows, he cares, regardless of how dim the day. But it reminded me most of, even in the midst of baker act after baker act and place after place and this, not having an idea of where we would end up, God reminded me, you're still blessed.